Let's turn our attention to the movement to occupy Wall Street and protest the industry. It's day 18 of the Occupy Wall Street protests. No bombs, no bullets or rocks or guns, just hashtags and voices at the tops of their lungs. That's a tweet from an Occupy Wall Street poem by artist Lupe Fiasco. But economists like Robert Reich and Ben Bernanke, head of the Federal Reserve, are also weighing in on the protest that's spreading from Wall Street to Los Angeles, Chicago, to here in Boston. Today, Ben Bernanke was asked by a member of Congress what he thought of the protests. Here's his response.
I think people are quite unhappy with the state of the economy, and they blame, with some justification, the problems in the financial sector for getting us into this mess. And they're dissatisfied with the policy response here in Washington. At some level, I can't blame them.
Nate Rawlings is with Time Magazine. He's been reporting on the Occupy Wall Street movement. Nate, do you get the sense from the people who are gathered down there at Zuccotti Park that this is maybe shifting from something that people were laughing at, you know, a gathering of hippies, to something maybe more serious?
Well, I think that Chairman Bernanke's sentiment is exactly the one that they've been trying to express. This is a group of people who don't have a specific policy prescription or a specific agenda, but they've been trying to push forward this idea that they are, as they call themselves, the other 99%, and they feel abandoned. They feel abandoned by their political leaders. They feel abandoned by a financial system that they see gives bailouts to large banks and large corporations and largely leaves people like them, especially young and unemployed people, behind.
Well, tomorrow, a national student walkout is planned in protest against unforgivable student loan debt. That's what, they're calling it. Mm-hmm. And that's lent to this idea that this is sort of a young sort of student movement. But here in the Boston area, we're seeing 40-somethings. What are you seeing in New York?
Well, it started out as a fairly young movement. It was a lot of young people in the first day, but there's middle-aged people, a lot of the folks from the boomer generation. There have been people who were involved with anti-Vietnam War protests, who were protesting against apartheid in the 80s. And one of the interesting things that goes on in the evening or during the day is that young people are talking to older people. The young people are talking among themselves. People are bringing their children down to show them, for better or for worse, if they agree or disagree, what the movement looks like. And so that's pretty nice to see.
You mentioned social media. We're going to be speaking with a member of Anonymous, the online hacktivist group. They've been involved now, and we'll have that for you in a couple minutes. But, you know, as the Christian Science Monitor puts it, Occupy Wall Street, a flash in the pan of the beginning of a movement. Time Magazine's Michael Shear, others asking if this will become a tea party for the left. But we also see a tweet from Anani Ops that says, "Careful, Occupy Wall Street. Don't let politicians co-opt our movement." Many of them view the Tea Party as something that was taken over by Republican operatives. Did you hear about that concern?
There's definitely a concern among protesters that the movement itself will get hijacked by anybody. Charlie Rangel was down there on Saturday, and he was booed off the stage. And a lot of people said, you know, we don't want another corrupt politician. And I think people see the Tea Party movement as a populist movement that was starting to grow up in anger and then became something that was deeply involved in politics. But that's sort of the double-edged sword of this movement, is that they want to point out these social injustices, as they say, but there's no real policy prescriptions.
You mentioned Charlie Rangel, the Democratic congressman who had to resign his committee post because of charges against him. So he was not well greeted there. Nate Rawlings, reporter for Time Magazine on Occupy Wall Street. Nate, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, the Occupy Wall Street demonstrators have some heavy hitters in the activist world on their side. The hacking activists, or a hacktivist known as Anonymous, that loose online federation that supports WikiLeaks' mission of free flow of information. Anonymous also lent its technical support to activists during the Arab Spring, waged a campaign of cyber attacks on the CIA, the Church of Scientology, and last year, a campaign against the websites of companies like MasterCard and PayPal, which had stopped processing donations for WikiLeaks after sensitive U.S. diplomatic cables were leaked. Well, now in PC Magazine, Anonymous is declaring war on the New York Stock Exchange. A video in the Anonymous YouTube channel vowed to erase the New York Stock Exchange from the Internet on October 10th as part of the Occupy Wall Street protests. Now, before that announcement, we asked someone from Anonymous if anything was planned.
I don't believe any actual cyber attacks are planned. I know that Bank of America's website had some issues the other day that people online were thinking might have been anonymous. Nothing I heard about. Right now, all the action is really in real life on the streets.
That's Greg Hausch, billed as an unofficial anonymous spokesperson. It could be that he's out of the loop, but with anonymous, there really isn't a loop. We caught up with Greg yesterday to ask him about the health of anonymous. There's reports of infighting, but also about Occupy Boston, the local offshoot of Occupy Wall Street that he's been involved in. And first, we pointed out to Greg Hausch, he's not anonymous.
I am not, and that word spokesperson is a very dirty word in these guys' eyes. I was outed by the Church of Scientology years ago when they were trying to figure out who was behind the video that really led Anonymous to the streets.
Yeah, this is a video of Tom Cruise that you guys were enjoying online in an online group. The Church of Scientology tried to take it down and stop you, and that's what spawned this whole movement.
Right.
So your name has been out there.
It's been out there for a few years now.
Well, first of all, your thoughts about the protests we're seeing in New York. Stephen Colbert, bloggers, you know, calling the protesters their directionless, you know, derided them as frisbee-throwing hippies. Why is Anonymous, why are you, as somebody who works with Anonymous, drawn to them when you seem to be able to get so much more traction online? What is it you connect with them about?
Real change. I honestly believe that the only way the stuff that we want fixed in this country is actually going to get fixed is with us being in the streets.
And what is it that you want fixed?
The short list is almost all economic and financial. If you look at the various proposed list of demands, they all include everything from various banking acts that were repealed years ago to ending the Bush tax cuts. There are a lot of other causes kind of being melded into this. In the end, we are the 99%, so there's going to be a lot of different ideas about where this is going.
Well, but it's mainly seeming to be about a lot of young people out of work and not seeing where their jobs are going to be. I mean, it's starting to gel around this thinking. And I'm wondering, in the past, Anonymous has been about freedom of speech issues, you know, supporting WikiLeaks, for instance. Or saying that, in fact, and being credited for exposing where there are security problems. Is this a shift for Anonymous?
It really isn't. What you might call the politicization of Anonymous has been happening for years, slowly. And if you look at what LulzSec or AntiSec, any of the other subgroups around Anonymous have been doing for the last few months, they have been saying on their Twitters and all these tweets about no longer fearing your government, no longer being afraid to speak out. And a lot of the actions they've taken have been geared in that area. So the idea that there are people occupying land that they definitely aren't supposed to be illegally in every major city is a start to that idea of not fearing your government and getting out there and getting the word spread.
We're talking with Greg Hausch, an internet activist associated with Anonymous. He's been involved with Occupy Wall Street and now Occupy Boston. The Financial Times reports that some Anonymous members were angry when WikiLeaks revealed the names and passwords of regular people. Sparky Blaze, an Anonymous member, wrote online, "Does Anonymous have the right to remove the anonymity of innocent people? They're always talking about people's rights to remain anonymous." So we decided to ask Greg about that. Is there infighting among Anonymous members about what the future should be?
Well, Anonymous doesn't exist, for one. That's the thing people seem to not understand is there's not one centralized group. So there's going to be 100 different groups of people who call themselves Anonymous who have different ideas. When that article came out, everyone on all the servers I know have said, "Who's that? We've never heard of this man who they're reporting on is Anonymous, who says he was around everyone."
But I guess the question is, does it worry you that you supported a group that, in fact, released personal information?
Not at all. One of the big problems we have here is complacency and a lot of people being so comfortable in this country, just comfortable enough that they're not willing to work on the big problems we have.
Even if in the case of some of those U.S. diplomatic cables released by WikiLeaks, the names that were exposed were human rights activists?
You know,
and let me just say, and with you in particular, you're quoted in that FT article as saying that you felt really nervous after your work with Iranian activists. You were in contact with activists inside Iran through Anonymous, and reportedly some of them were killed. And after that, you said, "I'm done. I got in too deep here." So do you worry about getting in too deep or making mistakes like that?
I do worry about getting in too deep. You know, the one thing that becomes hard when you're working in some of those other countries trying to help them get more anonymous and be able to hide while they're doing these protest actions, like during the Green Wave in Iran, is people are going to die. So you're going to make friends with these people, and you have to get used to the fact that people you just made friends with are going to die, and you replace them with another person who's willing to reach out, and it does start to bother you. You just have to get through that.
How about the case of 19-year-old, I think it's pronounced Martin Gonlag, from the Netherlands? You're well aware of this. He was arrested for participating in the attacks on the websites of Visa and MasterCard. He could get 6 years in jail. The FT is also reporting that this young man, left anonymous after he saw online another anonymous member trying to coach a very young kid how to download the same software that he had. And when he tried to say something, this is Martin Gonlag, when he tried to say something online, you know, wait a minute, I might go to jail for this, he was told to shut up. Does this worry you that it feels like maybe some anonymous members are using young people? Maybe they're not getting arrested, but these young people might be.
That is absolutely a worry. But the thing is, again, anyone can be anonymous. You could be the person who did that. I would never know. So the idea that that applies to anyone that I've even ever met or agree with is strange to me.
But this is an organization you're associated with.
There's no organization. Yeah. It's not there. I've never met or talked to well over 90% of the people who have ever said they are anonymous. And I haven't been a part of many of the operations that have happened or in any way known they were happening before they already happened.
In fact, you say you've never done anything illegal.
For any of the anonymous-related stuff, I've only handled operational things like putting up websites, helping with Why We Protest.
What about now? Again, back to Occupy Wall Street. How is Anonymous involved? Just getting people out there?
Anonymous has been helping to spread the word through all of the tools and accounts they have online that have so many followers. But a lot of the people who are what you might say with Anonymous have been at the actual events. The other thing they're doing is helping them set up secure wireless networks and helping them learn to keep prying eyes from seeing what they're doing while they're on the internet at the protests.
Well, so Greg Hausch, again, of Anonymous, you know, there is, meanwhile, conversation going on within the group and publicly. There was a DEF CON hacking convention in August. There was a former member of Anonymous, Jennifer Emick, who was, you know, heckled there. And so I guess the debate continues within the organization or non-organization. But one of the hecklers was in a Guy Fawkes mask. And we just want to briefly ask you about this. This is the sort of, you see it in a lot of news accounts when you see protesters around the world. It's sort of a white mask with pink cheeks, a little goatee, and sharp eyebrows. Guy Fawkes was the Englishman who in the 1800s tried to blow up the House of Parliament because he wanted to restore the Catholic monarch to the throne. There was a movie, V for Vendetta. Now members of Anonymous wear this mask. Why this mask? Because, again, this is a guy who wanted to violently blow up Parliament and reinstate a religious monarchy. So why did you want to identify with him?
Well, for one, V for Vendetta had nothing to do with him. It just, the same act was going to happen, blowing up Parliament. Yeah. But it was in no way tied to the religious aspects of Guy Fawkes. And we honestly could care less about Guy Fawkes himself. The mask to us has nothing to do with him.
You just like the mask.
Well, you know, in the first days, as the Church of Scientology protest was getting underway and we were organizing what we were going to do, a small channel of us who had put up the videos and organized the protests decided that we were going to need to remain anonymous in real life. So put a short list of masks together, everything from masquerade masks to Batman to this mask. And one of the reasons this mask was on the list was, of course, it was very symbolic from the movie V, how everyone came together with it. But it was also relatively cheap, light, easy to wear. We actually called around to costume shops, comic book shops in every major city we could in the world, very pragmatically here. And it turned out that from Moscow to L.A., every major city in the world had this exact same mask in the exact same brand and the exact same color for about $10.
Fascinating. And by the way, people point out that Warner Brothers has paid a licensing fee every time someone from Anonymous buys the mask to perhaps protest big corporate companies like Warner Brothers.
One of the interesting things right there is that we've used that mask, which is actually Warner Brothers IP. They own that. They own copyright on the imagery, everything. They've done nothing about us using it repeatedly all over the world. We have this great branding, this great image that some other company spent a lot of money to develop, and they aren't coming after us for abusing that.
Because they've sold 100,000.
I think it's a fair trade.
Greg Hausch, again, I don't know how to say this because you say it's not a group and you're not a spokesperson for Anonymous, but you are
an internet activist associated with Anonymous.
There you go. Greg, thank you.
Yep,